Hey, welcome to Chaotic Music Meetings on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Miles Black. My pronouns are he, him. I'm the host of Chaotic Music Meetings. And today we have Nasty Weather live in studio. So, Nasty Weather, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Heavy, Lord, it's so heavy it aches, and it aches so bad it could be bursting, but it can't burst if it can't break. Well, that creature's so wild you can't tame it. Oh, you can't contain what you don't know. Oh, but you can treat it kind, give it a reason why. Oh, it should follow you home. Ooh, 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 ooh. Did you ever think it was your shadows that cast your doubts? Oh, now you got a wolf on your bedroom door. You cast a blade, you cast it out. Oh, but my heart's so full that it's heavy. It's so heavy it aches. Oh, but it aches so bad it must be bursting, and it can't burst if it can't break. Oh. Well, hello everybody out there listening to CITR Radio. I'm Nasty Weather. Here at UBC on a beautiful, sunny, snowy day. And I'm going to play a couple more songs for you. This one's usually a bit more of a rock and roll tune, but I'm by myself and it feels so romantic in here somehow. I'm going to slow it down. Honey, I wouldn't be what I'm without my dark side. Oh, tell me, how can I lie that burns so bright? Help but fading on. No, I wouldn't be caught there without that dark side. And it's all the more blinding if you try to fight, hold fast when the lights go. Out. Go out. And so who'd really care for the moon if it weren't for her? Waning away, oh, pretty as she is when she's full, you can't ask her to stay that way. And we curse the sun for dead crops and the burns on our skin. If they didn't go and leave us in the cold, dark night every now and again. Your demons, if you ever hope to meet them, they can teach you all about the night. The night. In a fire that burns so high, but coming down, no, oh, I need to let it go. Come in my knock side, just like it's poison process antidote. When you let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Oh, that was nice. I haven't done that in a while like that. Again, for all of those of you who are just tuning in, this is Nasty Weather. I'm here on Chaotic Music Meetings with Miles Black on CITR Radio. And we're going to play a couple more tunes for you. This one's called Belly. Thank you. Take me where the big trees are. I wanna go. Let me dangle for a while. You bring the shears, I'll bring the rope. Only in my head, and I don't think about it in my nice warm bed. Oh, so put me in some danger. I wanna feel alive. Oh, just a semi-firm hand across my neck. Really breathe for a while. I saw you turning the lights down low. How you gonna tell me it's the same as before? Oh, oh, bury the hatchet, you can watch it grow. He and I be banging through your bathroom floor. So red wagon rolled over my all for fun. Tommy gun. So I tend to my tummy for they bite my hand. You can hold me to my horses till I master them. I master them. Ooh, oh. Till I master them. Ooh, ooh, oh. Till I master them. Gosh, I'm feeling like I'm going to play one more tune and then I'm going to get in there and chat with Max. And it's been real nice to be able to come out here today. And to any of you listening, I hope you're having a beautiful day. This is a new one, just for you guys. Called anyway. Fresh from the thick again, dawn in the mire. Unsure if it happened or we made it, if it's worth the wonder why. Found me tugging at their shirts. Can you pick me up? Oh, I was feeling too heavy. I was feeling small enough. Oh, anyway. could it ever be? When it keeps coming back to me, oh, anyway. Don't wanna hold or be held by it. Let it go, pass it by, be around for the next. When I boil it down to right now, well, it's just what it is. Oh, oh, oh. Ooh. Oh. Taking stock of all our stores, all we have to hold and show. Calculating pointlessly to find that it's everything, oh, it's nothing. We have killed that cat, but it saved me. Wonder what'll happen when I'm through with all my wondering. Oh, anyway, is it really gone? Could it ever be? When it keeps coming back to me, oh, anyway. Point of our pointlessness. Oh, we're never quite sure what we're supposed to be living proof of. But we're here neither tainted nor pure. The difference between carefree and careless was left in the hands of a judge who found obsolete the finery. Oh, oh, oh. Ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm going to go join Max in the next room, and we're going to talk about our feelings. Miles.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry,
it's all good. That was Nasty Weather live on CITR 101.9 FM. And we are going to talk about our feelings. But while I get Anna settled into the studio here, here's a track by local band Yoon, Y-O-O-N. This is some new recordings. They'll be hard to find, but they're on Bandcamp, yoon2000.bandcamp.com, featuring one person named Dorothy and two people named James. Dorothy Neufeld from Swim Team, who's been charting a lot here at CITR lately. This is one of her new projects, Yoon.
Have you ever thought about going abroad to study, work, intern, or learn a language? Mark Thursday, February 28th, your calendar, and get down to the Vancouver Convention Center, East Building, to find out how. All the experts under one roof, top universities, gap year specialists, and student travel organizations. There's a feature seminar on scholarships that starts at 1 p.m. and the expo opens at 2 p.m. Admission is free. Check it out online at www.studyandgoabroad.com for more info.
Said that people disappoint, but pizza is eternal. That adage is being put to the test with Canadians weighing in on pizza, love, and slice etiquette. 6 in 10 Canadians have some type of relationship deal breaker when it comes to pizza, but 1 in 3 have no pizza love limits at all. The top deal breaker was eating pizza in bed at 18%, and closely behind was anchovies on pizza at 17%. Next up were picks the cheese off at 10, eats pizza with a knife and fork at 8%, uses too much garlic dipping sauce at 7%, puts pineapple on pizza at 6%, doesn't eat the crust at 6%, and eats it cold at 4%. So cuddle up on the couch and share some za and some love.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, situated on the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people. I'm Miles Black, host of Chaotic Music Meetings. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm talking to Anna Schleckleitner.
Oh, wow, good work.
Thank you.
Did you practice?
From Nasty Weather. I did not, and I'm proud of myself for getting that.
That's
somewhat.
Yeah, I'm Anna Schleckleitner, and my pronouns are she, her, or I'm always okay with they, them. I think that one's great all across the board. But
cheers.
Yeah, nice to be in here today. How are you, Miles?
I'm great. I'm having a lovely day, and especially because you're here playing. I'm a big fan, and your music is so soothing to me that whenever I'm nervous, I often put on your EP.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Somehow that makes me feel nervous.
I'll do as much as I can to make you feel comfortable during this interview.
Thank you.
But let me know if you need anything.
I will. I got water and coffee. I'm set.
Cool.
My bases are covered.
Awesome. Do you mind getting a little bit closer to the mic?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'm in there.
Cool. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming and playing your banjo live on the radio.
Mm.
Always kind of a nerve-wracking experience, especially when like you're playing in the CITR lounge and there's people walking around and having meetings.
Yeah, and my phone keeps going off.
Yeah, you just outed yourself. They wouldn't have known that was your phone.
I'm all about transparency.
Oh, know? Good.
You have to accept me with my tendency to forget to set my phone to silent sometimes.
Yeah, it happens to all of us.
It's a part of who I am.
Yeah, fair enough. I kind of want to just jump right into it because we've got a little less than half an hour.
Okay.
And I do want to play some tracks as I always do.
Yeah.
But I mainly want to talk to you.
Okay. I love talking to you.
I love talking to you.
Oh.
Listeners, if you don't know Nasty Weather, you can also check out an episode that we did last summer,
mm-hmm.
Nasty Weather and Rusty Tones, who are going on tour.
Yeah.
And there's a track where you're playing and Rusty Tones is joining you, singing backup.
Yeah.
That's a real special episode.
Yeah, that was a real special tour. I loved being on the road with Renee. That was really, yeah, that was really special for me to have her singing along with my tunes with me. That made me feel really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've looked up to them for years, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at some point I probably want to get Rusty Tones back in here for a solo set,
you
too.
You should, yeah.
It seems like that episode was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're both going to come back.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think you really just got to ask her and she'll come.
Yeah, cool.
Kind of like you.
Actually, do you mind if I start with that as a question? Like, well, not even a question, just a topic. Collaboration. Because you collaborate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I also know that that wasn't something that you did all your life. You kind of got into it in your 20s, right?
Yeah. So shortly after I had bought my banjo and started playing open mics and things like that, I started a band with my partner at the time. And that really pushed me into getting more comfortable with performance. I was thinking about it on the way over here, just about how any performing art demands that you give your full confidence when you're in it. Mm. Like, you need to be able to give yourself to the moment. You don't get to be shy. Otherwise, you're not really doing it. And so, like, through performing, just, like, how much that's gotten me more comfortable with performing and having these genuine moments. But a major thing about that band was that it was based around just the two of us at the time, and we were always, every festival or show we were going to, we were playing with different people, and the songs were never the same, and so it really it forged my, like, learning how to perform with just being able to roll with it and play with lots of different people, and I really enjoyed that.
That was a big part of, like, folk music for me when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And seeing a lot of, like, musicians who played in the community playing with other people. Like, some people think of it as, like, I write a song and it's going to change depending on who I'm playing it with.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so, so much. And it's, yeah, there's parts of me that, like, wanted to kind of form a band with specific members, but the open nature of the False Predictions, which is the name of the band, which is very fitting because you don't get to have too many expectations about who the band's going to be that time. And they do. They bring so much of their own creativity and feel into these songs so that many times in a performance, even if we've practiced it that way, like, the feeling that I get just changes the song for me and it gives it a whole new meaning. And I'll... And it keeps them new for me all the time, which is the thing that I love about music, the way that, like, it just spans across so many different times and experiences in our life and still finds ways to fit, because it's always rooted, even if it's written about a story, it's always rooted in the feeling. So when somebody comes up to me and they're like, I know exactly what that song was about, and I can look at them and I can tell you for certain that you don't know what that song's about for me. And I love the way that we make music about, like, that we can make music about ourselves and that we do that. I think that's really beautiful. It's a lot of how we relate. But yeah, I'll just say, like, I don't think it's possible you could know exactly what the story was about. But I do believe that you know exactly what the feeling's about. I do believe that you felt what I was feeling. Just about different things that apply more to your own life. And it just sort of, like, transcends storylines. It's nice. Yeah.
I think that's one thing that I've always really appreciated about seeing you play live, is that, like, it's so emotional and clearly, like, it seems like what you're doing can't really be faked. Like, like, if you're not feeling up for it, you probably just wouldn't play, right?
Like, yeah. But I'm not, I think... I find that I'm never not feeling up for it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, and I mean, because it's such a catharsis in performing, like I was saying, from that, like, you have to, like, give it your full confidence. You have to fully give into it to really be performing. Otherwise, you're holding back from everybody. So from pushing myself to do that, in certain ways, performing is one of the spaces where I feel the most free to be the most genuine, in a way that I'm not worried about being misinterpreted. It's, like, very personal and very shared and supported often by audiences, like the power that an audience can bring to a performance too. It's just so therapeutic for me, because so many of my songs are just about self-acceptance through all, like, whatever's going on, through my depression being a major part of it. So even if I feel really nervous or really off or anything before a show, I tend to just like sit myself down and remind myself why I do this and how it feels. And it all, I always, at, however I'm feeling before a show, I'm always feeling great after a show, which is nice.
Yeah. And it does kind of remind you of why you do it.
Like, yeah.
Especially like when you think about starting out and like performing in front of a crowd for the first few times. Like,
I remember like just like full body shaking in front of the microphone. You can like hear it. It's like people are like, I love your vibrato. I'm like, it was just stage fright. But yeah, I just kind of kept playing through it. And it's really nice to be now in a place where I don't feel that terrifying fear. For the longest time, I got really worried before shows. And then I kept being like, Anna, why are you doing this? Because if you're doing it to impress everybody in the room, then do something else. But if you're doing it because it feels good and because you want to connect, then the only way for you to do that is to just like let go of all of your worries about what people are going to think and just come and be genuine and try to connect. So it took me quite a few shows to like really start imprinting that pattern where I just like understood it instead of had to talk myself through it. But yeah, I'm feeling, I still get nervous before shows, but
me too.
Not in a way that makes me unhappy. It's kind of like, oh, I'm nervous.
Yeah. And I do, like, I think I've said this in my show before, that I get nervous before every performance. Like, it's always been the same level of nervousness.
Yeah, you have said that, I remember.
Yeah, right. it's amazing to see yourself kind of, like, work through that and to see it get a little bit easier.
Yeah. It makes me feel, it's a hard thing for, like, an insecure person to say, like, I feel really proud of myself. But the more I am working on coming out of my insecurities, because, gosh, does that work ever feel good? But the more I do that work, the more I just, like, allow myself to be like, hey, you worked hard to get through a lot of personal stuff. And, you know, you worked on your playing and you, like, you know, you worked really hard to feel this good. Like, enjoy it.
Yeah. And I also think, like, it's, like, if it's hard for you to say, like, I'm proud of myself.
Oh, yeah.
But that's so beneficial to yourself. And,
totally.
Like, and helps out in every relationship that you have. Like, the more that you can recognize yourself or, like, be proud of yourself or just acknowledge yourself.
Yeah.
The more you do that, the more, like, the stronger you become.
Yeah.
And you can use that strength for whatever you want.
Totally. And, like, I can't say that I've done that work all by myself. There's definitely been a lot of community support. There's been a lot of, like, band members, friends, things like that, who are just, like, shaking their head at me when I'm getting super embarrassed about a performance. Like, Anna, what you're doing is worth listening to. Like, it's worthwhile. Like, like, I remember a show not too long ago, I had hired a bassist that I was really excited about, Joseph Lubinsky, and we don't know each other super well, but before the show I was like, oh gosh, I'm just so nervous, and he just, like, super nice guy, but he just looked at me dead on, like, with just the straightest face, and he just, like, shook his head at me and then just went back to what he was doing. Like, don't be ridiculous, like,
right.
But it's been through help from a lot of people in the community and a lot of support and a lot of people sharing their wisdom with me. And, I don't know. It definitely wouldn't have happened all on my own. I can't take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're like a new artist or like you've been writing songs and playing them by yourself for a while, if you can get to that point where you can invite other people to play with you, that really does help. Like,
yeah, and it came to a very simple moment. When I left the band that I had started years ago, I went to Europe and I went through this dry spell of writing, and I was in Germany and I would go to these hip hop open mics once a week, and that was about all I was doing. And then I came back to Vancouver and I really wanted to be in a band again. I really missed it. But I did not feel confident in my banjo playing at all. So I just wanted to be a singer in somebody else's band, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was just like, well, Anna, if you want a band, you just have to book a show and invite whoever, like literally invite whoever you want to be in your band, mm-hmm. and they'll probably take it because everybody's looking for a gig.
Right.
And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, that's so simple.
Yeah.
And so I did it that way, and I was playing with people who were really aspirational for me, musicians that were friends of mine, but that I looked up to and did not think were going to have time for, like, my new awkward little project. But they did, but not all the time. So I would just keep booking shows, and they had the freedom to, like, prioritize their other projects and their other things, and I had the freedom to be able to book my shows as I wanted to, and it's worked out really well, where everybody feels, I hope all of my bandmates feel like they are very much a part of what I'm doing, because they are. These songs mm-hmm. have changed because of their influence. Like, I can't thank every one of them enough for the support and for how much they've brought to the music. Even if, you know, I'll go months or even a year at a time without playing with certain members, but then it's just so nice to have such a broad network and like a big family within mm-hmm. a band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like they must appreciate it too, because like you're sharing your most intimate work with them. Like you're sharing when you're at your most vulnerable and yeah. shaky just before you go on stage.
Totally. Band practice used to be the most awkward I would ever right. feel. That was way worse than performing. Was they're just like looking at me like, okay, yeah, teach us the song. And I kept at first for the longest time, I kept just being like, well, What do you think? And eventually, after enough times, Brendan Steele from Red Haven is one of my main most frequent members and friend. He just had to be like, Anna, it's your song. You got to tell us. You're driving.
Yeah. So it sort of forces you into some kind of leadership role.
Mm-hmm. I hated it at first.
Right. I did too.
I've never been the one who wanted to like make the decisions for other people or right. like make those calls. But then that too, I've gotten more comfortable with too, because I guess I take a little, yeah, I take my music more seriously now, and I have more self-confidence about, you know, wanting my music to be to a certain degree a certain way, and that I've written these songs, and I don't want to just like, at the first I was just like, here's this song that I wrote that probably isn't very good because I don't know anything about music, I'm so insecure, so can you just like take it and like make it better for me, and I'll just like leave it in your hands. But that was never going to work that way. I just had to at my chops and keep working and keep learning. And of course they had influence, and of course they gave me suggestions that helped those things along. But at the end of the day, everybody who's ever been a part of the False Predictions has been really good to just like take a step back and make sure that I know that I'm like driving, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still hard.
I feel like I should take it to a track just to sort
yeah,
of
sure.
Put a break in this conversation, because I want to talk to you for ages.
Yeah, I could keep rambling forever.
And there are some tracks that I want to play. Actually, if you don't mind, I might plug some shows coming up too.
Yeah, do it.
This Thursday, tomorrow night, at KW Studios, BB is having a single release with Supermoon, Loans, Waste, and the Dame DJs. So that's going to be a beautiful show. Also in Victoria, I believe this is in Victoria, only because it's at a place called the Ice Palace, which I don't know. Redress is having an album release, and it's part of a fundraiser for Girls Rock Camp Victoria, featuring KMVP and Holo Sapien and Cream Tees. I got to read all these names because they're
Ooh.
So good. Headache and Pink Charcoal.
Nice.
That's at a place called the Ice Palace, but I'm sure you can message Girls Rock Camp Victoria or any of these bands to figure out where that venue is.
Also, if I can
yeah.
plug one thing.
Go for it.
Any Old Soul Rebels on fans on the air tonight, Old Soul Rebel... was just on The Launch, which is a TV show. I don't watch a lot of TV, but it's a music competition, which is really rad for them. And they're airing the first episode tonight, so a bunch of us are getting together at Lanaloo's to watch.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're having a screening party. So if anybody wants to come out and watch them, I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be a real special event.
National television.
I'm really glad that Old Soul Rebel is getting some like great press.
Oh, they 100% deserve it. I'm just glad it's about time. Yeah.
Cool. Well, this track is called Took to Strut by a band called Peak Seek, P-I-Q-S-I-Q, featuring members of Quantum Tangle. And the album is called Altering the Timeline. This both members of this band, Kaylee Inuksuk McKay and Tiffany Kiluktana Ayalik, are Inuit style throat singers. So I don't even know if you're ready for this, but here it goes. That was Peak Seek from their album Altering the Timeline.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I feel really like worked up now.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta go now. This episode is brought to you by Valentine's Day, exploiting the normative concept of love for capitalist interests.
Oh.
I'm here live in the studio with Nasty Weather.
Hi.
Hi. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm really glad I made it out here today.
Yeah. There is so much nasty weather this week.
I know.
I was worried, but thank you for braving it through the snow.
Yeah, well, today was quite nice. The snow, like, is not coming down so hard. Yesterday was quite a lot. Me and my friend were going to drive out to Port Coquitlam to go check out a different Value Village, and we were getting close to the highway, and we were like, no, let's go back.
I came into work here for like 2 hours, and the snow kept coming down, and I was like, oh, wait, should I go? Like, am I going to get stuck here? I don't want to be stuck at UBC.
No.
No, thank you.
Well, they do have a lot of amenities.
That's true. But when they like when they shut down, they really shut down, and it's like a ghost town around here.
Spooky.
We've got a little bit more time than our usual 1 hour block, which is nice. The next show is at 4:30 and it's Thunderbird Eye. Can we jump right back into our deep conversation?
Yes, let's get so deep.
Because if you don't mind, I want to ask you about your religious influences. And I only bring it up because every once in a while in your songs I hear...
religious references.
Well, yeah, like singing about heaven or demons.
Mm-hmm.
A line from your new song that you played today, Anyway...
Mm-hmm.
Says neither tainted nor pure,
yeah.
Which I think of as a very religious concept.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that in there. Yeah, I grew up going to church. We went to a couple of different ones when we were younger. But for most of my life, when I quit going to church when I was about 13 or 14, but it was called New Life, and it was like this very out there church, like 1,000 people, I think. Mm. And during the first hour of church, it was just praise, where we would sing. Like, it wasn't like the other churches I had been to. I remember it being so cool because in the other churches, everybody was in their pew and they had their books and they sang at a respectable level. And at this new church, people were just like making all kinds of crazy harmonies and singing their hearts out and grabbing flags and like dance, like wild dancing. It was a party on a Sunday morning. And there was a lot of other things about that church that were quite frightening for me as a child, like just because nobody had given me the rundown on modern day exorcisms and things like that. So I'm like walking past and there's a, you know, this woman just crying her heart out and like changing voices from like between a lion and a very scared child and all of these things while 10 people speak in tongues over them. And when you're 7 years old, nobody explains that to you. You're pretty like, what's wrong with her? And there's, you know, there's a lot about my religious influence that I felt very oppressed by, as many people who have left the church feel. But on the other hand of that, it was such an expressive period in my life where I was encouraged, where it wouldn't have happened anywhere else in my life for years. I never would have been encouraged to give myself into spirit like that and just sing however I wanted, as loud as I wanted, and dance however I wanted. And nobody was going to judge you. In fact, they were going to be stoked because you were doing it for God. And there's something about that spirit, although I don't apply it to the same things that they do, that was very real. And when I left the church, I needed to, because there, like, as I was getting older, I realized how much judgment and intolerance I was also surrounded by, just in different ways. Like, it was like, your free expression is welcome as long as you're doing it in the within the these confines that I didn't see when I was younger.
Right.
So I would, there was a lot of missing that when I left. It was like therapy. I could come there with anything at the time up until I started questioning their values. And then I had to leave, and since I left, there's been a lot of things that I've had to work out about that. Like, my Oma was also Catholic, so I'd been baptized a couple times and like would visit her every summer, and she would convert me to Catholicism every summer, and then I would go back home and I'd be a Lutheran again. And,
wow.
And just heavy religious influences throughout my family. My family is huge, so it's just like every gathering was always like very much based around this. And when I started to break away from it, I felt very distant from my family and very distant from the only place in my life that I really felt like I got to have that free expression and be that welcome as a weirdo, even. Until I started getting more complicated, I guess.
Yeah.
So music has
very much brought back that I was missing from church. Because I couldn't go back. I couldn't feel that spirit anymore. When it's like, I often think of the metaphor of like Narnia and the wardrobe. It was Narnia for me for a while when I was a child. And then I would try to go back and I just couldn't give myself into it in the same way because I just didn't believe in it anymore.
Right.
So I would go back to a wardrobe. And now I've found my Narnia in music, and hopefully I don't see this one ever turning into a wardrobe, fortunately.
Yeah, I think I relate to a lot of this because, like, as a child, I did not have much religious influence in my life, but music was something that I found very early on that I was like, oh, there is, like, such depth of feeling here.
Yeah.
And I respond to this a lot.
Yeah.
Because I grew up on a Gulf Island with a lot of like hippie culture, and a lot of it was very like anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see a lot of it when I was growing up, but I always felt that. Here's the thing: like I have mixed mixed opinions on religion in general.
Go on.
But one thing that I think major religions are really providing is a source of spirituality for people who like aren't pursuing that anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like. A lot of the modern, like, capitalist systems we live in aren't spiritual at all.
Yeah.
And I think that people are missing that, a way to sort of exercise their spiritual self.
Totally. And I think it can do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't agree with it, I was much more, you know, when I was removing myself from it, I felt the need. Also, I was a teenager, so I felt the need to be much more rebellious.
Right.
And I had a lot of pain around it, so I, you know, hurt people, so I just like rejected all of it, and as you know, getting older and learning to be a little bit more empathetic, I'm so happy for people who have that. I see that, you know, and whatever you want to think that God is a bigger question. I see that look in people's eyes, like they feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like we were talking about with like the storylines, you may not, we have different stories behind what it's all about, but I believe that you know that the feeling is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's true around my experiences with people, you know, with my Christian family and friends. Like that's their feeling, the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have a different storyline to it than I do. So as from where I stand, like I can see it as a very beneficial thing up until it comes to a point where some groups come together and take that so far as to oppress others.
Mm-hmm.
And be judgmental of others, because that was never what the Bible was about. That was never our place to do. We, like, you know, and from my learning in church, if people were going by that, like the just going by the love that Jesus was supposed to be teaching, how could I ever see any problem with it? Like, of course, they're there to share their beliefs with people, but not to force them on people.
Mm-hmm.
And not to pass judgment, because, you know, according to that storyline, that's God's job.
Mm.
So, so I know a lot of really beautiful Christian people in my life that I love to talk about religion with, because I know that they're not trying to judge me or make me believe what they believe. We're just discussing feelings.
Yeah. I think my main, like, throughout life, my main grievance with Christianity in particular has not been the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been how dominant that religion has been on the earth for thousands of years. And I feel like we're... globally, even we're just getting to the point where it's not the most dominant code of
and my
beliefs.
Mom's having a really hard time with it.
A lot of people must be.
Yeah,
it was huge for so long, but like, hey, you had a good run.
You guys had. I don't know if I would call it good for all of it, but
no.
And also,
especially
like
for queer people, like, it was not a good time.
That was the moment that I walked out of church. They were having this big rally, like everybody in the church was out of their seats and like waving their hands and super into it, and the pastor was like really passionately, like they were having this power prayer session.
Mm-hmm.
Where And that was the moment for me that I walked out and never went back into that church was, hearing my pastor shout to everyone and everyone, a thousand people all being like, yeah, shout and pray for the homosexuals that they be healed.
Right.
And I walked out and I saw my mom's friend was working the cafe that they had just out in the lobby, and I was upset about it. And I talked to her about it. I'm like, I can't believe that they just said that. And then she tried to reason with me, like, oh, well, you know. And I was like, ah. And that was a crazy moment for me as a teenager, too, because I just thought it was all about the love.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. I don't know. I was also suppressed from ever learning that homosexuality existed for way too long in my life.
Right.
Like, I remember. And so I think it wasn't even that long before that point that I found out what it was and felt weird about the fact that I had only been given this, like, picture where this is the only way that it works.
Right. And a lot of your songs seem like, it's not like you're, like, out there singing the gospel of God. It's almost like you're looking at the lessons you've been taught and, like, just sort of reflecting on them.
Yeah, trying to, like, heaven, for instance, is one that is, like, the most heavily religious, naturally. And it could sound like I was angry at God in that. But that's not what it is. And that's never, most of my religious references are not actually an anger with God. Or, you know, necessarily a belief in that, but it's an anger with how far humans took it in a hurtful direction.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard it was for me to, like, break away from that and be able to see that, and still I have this thing, not with just religion, but within all aspects of my life, just like, still being able to see the beauty therein while accepting the whole picture, like, that they're not just, like, you know, it's not all good.
Mm. That's a huge life lesson to just be, like, critical of, or, like, just analytical of whatever you're taking in.
Yeah, like, finding ways to set boundaries with empathy, because I find I've been thinking a lot lately about how difficult setting boundaries has been for me to learn, and just observing the way that other people do it. And I find it's very common that when you feel like you need something out of your life or someone out of your life, that it's just too hard to look at the complex view of them as a whole person with both good and bad in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to just vilify the whole person or concept or thing,
right,
and just completely push it away, because it's just, it hurts too much to, it's too vague of a statement. There's many different reasons why I think that we do that. But just, like, personally, lately, it's been my journey with a lot of things to, you know, with certain people. Like, I've never been one to, like, cut people out of my life. And if I had, I had to, like, be like, that person is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be away from me. And I just don't want to do that anymore because that hurts me. And it hurts community, like, and so just, like, I think that that person is not somebody, like, that I feel safe around or comfortable around. And be able to have love with them without taking that love for them so far that I keep enabling them to hurt me.
Right, yeah.
It's complicated. Like, even when I start talking about it or thinking about it, my head starts kind of like, oh, but this, but that. But, just starting to do the work has been really, it feels great.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really good work, because I think you're right that it's like, as soon as any conflict comes up with a relationship, it's so easy to write them off as good or bad.
Yeah.
And say, like, I've made my mind up about you as a person.
Yeah.
And so much more difficult to accept the possibility that people have good and bad behaviors.
Yeah.
And they're often at war with themselves. And
totally.
They're not always winning.
No. And, like, just coming from so many different experiences, and you cannot sum those experiences up. But like, we're always performing statistics. When we look at a person, we start to like, we can't help it. We look at a person and we think about how much money they have, what kind of education they have, like what kind of family background they have, what they, you know, like all of these things based on how their hair looks and like all of the things. And to try not to do that so much, to
to not constantly like self or like to assess other people.
Yeah, and like we do that because it makes it easier for our brains to make sense of the world around us. It would take so much more work if we actually just had to get to know everybody on an individual level.
And we would have so much more uncertainty about everything.
Yeah. And I think that that's not a bad thing, because our ideas of certainty are pretty weak, I think. Like, you're limited by your ability to perceive, and you can't get outside of yourself enough to have an absolute view of where what those limitations are and what filters you have on based on your experiences that, you know, can take somebody asking you a question and turn it into
a judgment,
really trying to get my brain to slow down on taking those statistics so seriously. And that's also like, it's also performing calculations based on like how I've been hurt in the past. Just trying to recognize that my brain is trying to analyze, and we'll always do that. That's what brains do. They analyze the world around us. But not to take my perceptions of things so seriously that I just, like, don't think to investigate further.
Right, yeah.
And think deeper about it.
Oh, that's such a useful tool, like, such a useful thing to think about.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff that I'm talking about, I can't say at all that I've got these things down. But these are the things I've been working on lately.
Yeah.
And just thinking about more.
And I really appreciate, like, I think you're doing good work when you go out and perform and, like, kind of show people your bad side, like, or your dark side.
Yeah.
Like, and you talk about demons and, and struggle.
Yeah. I have, you know, from my struggles with mental health, there was a while where it felt like it just wasn't me. Like, it felt like I was being, like, these thoughts were just getting shot into my head, and I didn't relate to them, but they were there.
Right.
At a certain point, it got quite bad, and it did start to feel kind of like a metaphor, but I was also living in the woods alone at that time, so, you know, things can start to feel a little bit more real if you're just left to your own. And so I did personify them, and I've done that for a long time, and I've been working on accepting that those are parts of myself. And just because I've been taught that they're bad, like, in this whole idea of, like, what's bad and good, like, it's very much about where my name, like, a big part of the meaning of, like, nasty weather is, it's not really, like, we need it to rain, we need it to storm, we need all these things to happen. It's not nasty just because you don't like it. You know, it might blow small shelters down, that I guess is kind of nasty, but but it's all a part of, like, just these necessary processes, much like feeling deeply depressed or anxious or, you know, all of these things serve a purpose. And the fact that, like, we, on top of feeling bad, shame ourselves for feeling bad, that's so much work. It makes the work so much harder.
It just gives you more self-work to do, too.
Totally. I read this thing in a book not too long ago saying to, you know, it's okay to cry. It's a beautiful thing to do. But to try, when you cry, to cry with your eyes open and, like, not slouching yourself inwards, but kind of having your shoulders back and sitting upright. And you can cry all you want, but it actually... And I started trying to practice that, and instead of spiraling into these negative thought cycles that just keep, like, feeding the sadness, you cry out into like the world, the room that you're actually in, where you actually are. And it just seems so much easier to let it out and move on, and like, and breathe through it. It's so much less painful to cry. And that a big part of that is from not feeling like you need to cower and hide that you're crying, because there's nothing wrong with it. So like moving away from self-denial about what we perceive to be bad about ourselves, and into just like having acceptance for the way that things are. And if we feel that they need to change, just to do that work and not from a place of shame.
I think like if you're a songwriter, especially if you're like a new songwriter or you're just starting out putting stuff down, that's a good tip to like, if you are wrestling with the, what you think of as the bad parts of yourself, quote unquote, put that into a song and make it into something that you share with people and that is recognizable as a piece of yourself. Like when you make a song, it is you. And it's a way to actually start accepting yourself.
Absolutely. I should say, I don't know if I completed my thought. I started rambling, but with the demons and things, it's all meant to be taken with a bit of irony.
Right.
Because I'm personifying a part of myself. It's like I've created a separate character, but it is also me. And I've created a character that is bad, but it's also not bad. There's the line in Darkseid, like, you'd best respect your demons if you ever hope to meet them. They can teach you all about the night. Like, it's just like this... somebody had told me, who is practicing Satanism, that like the thing, the difference between like the difference we were discussing between Satanism and Christianity was just that, in Christianity you hide from your demons and you hope that God will save you. Whereas with Satanism, you look them straight in the face and you call them by their name and you tell them to leave. And growing up Christian, somebody posing that idea to me just seemed so empowered. And again, we're speaking about demons as a concept, not as an actual thing outside of ourselves. But yeah, where was I?
Well, oof, there's a lot to take in there. actually, but, to be honest, I feel like I should give you a chance to plug your tour coming up, because we haven't got a chance to talk about that and we don't have a lot of time left. But also, thank you for like getting deep with me and talking about demons and Satanism.
I love talking about this kind of stuff. It's a big part of why I wanted to take my music public, was like feeling very alienated with a lot of the things that I was struggling with, and realizing that, you know, there's not enough conversations going on about mental health and our struggles, and like we tend to hide the bad stuff. So I really want to connect and relate to people who also feel the way that I felt, so that like I don't feel like, for me, I don't feel as alienated every time somebody comes up to me and they're like, whoa, I felt that. I'm like, oh yeah, right, I'm not alone, and they're, you know, and you're not alone. So yeah, I love talking about this stuff. I'm no doctor or anything, but it's just things I love to discuss and things I've done a lot of personal work through.
And I love talking to people about whatever they have spent a lot of time thinking about. Like thank you.
Absolutely. The things coming up. So again, for anyone who's sort of new to the conversation, I'm Nasty Weather of Nasty Weather and the False Predictions. If you want to find me online, it's Nasty with an I, not a Y. That always gets people. And next week I'm going to be heading off on tour. I'll be starting off in Haida Gwaii and then working my way through Prince Rupert over to Prince George. I'm going up to Wells and down through all of the Okanagan and over to Alberta. I think that I'll be coming back to Vancouver on March 26th for the Bitch Tapes release party.
Yeah, great.
Which I'm super excited about. And yeah, I'm going to be putting out some new tracks and some new videos soon. If you want to look on the internet, I'm really excited about them.
Your website is nastyweathermusic.com.
Nastyweathermusic.com or just nastyweather.com. Right. Also, like, really, if you just Google Nasty Weather, N-A-S-T-I, weather, I think I'm still the only one on there, so you'll find all my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a massive and beautiful tour.
I know, a month and a half. Yeah, Danny Bell from Prince George just contacted me to do one show. I was like, oh, geez, I don't know about getting the band up here. He's like, well, what if you just came and we were your band? And I was like, okay.
Cool.
Let's book another couple shows around this. And he was like, yeah, sure. And then all of a sudden it turned into a month and a half tour.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. It's my first big one of my own booking.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thanks.
Cool. Well, thanks again for being here. I'm just going to play one more track. And then, like I said, at 4:30, Thunderbird Eye will be up.
Woo!
Woo! Thanks, Nasty Weather.
Thanks, Miles.
Okay, this is actually from AK05, the new Agony Club compilation album, curated by Casey Way. Casey Way is like a favorite of this show, and Agony Club is an amazing group that put out really great releases. They put out magazines and compilation albums. This is a song by Housewind called Ixion. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a lovely snowy day.